Our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the 12th chapter as we hear of the spiritual gifts that God has given. Beginning with verse 1, Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And these are the variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To the one who is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Does anyone have a random talent that they wouldn't mind sharing or demonstrating? All right. Ooh. That's a fantastic random talent. Yes, thank you. Can anyone say the alphabet backwards? Olivia can. Yeah. Excellent. Is anyone double jointed? Yep, there's yeah. All right, we've got some people who are double jointed. What about the random talent of being able to do a back handspring? There was somebody at 8:30 who could. They didn't demonstrate, but they can do it. All right. Can any of you pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time? All right. These are all random talents. And some of us have them and some of us don't. And that's okay. We each have things that we are good at, whether it's swatting flies or something else. We each have something that we are good at. Maybe you're good at finding small things that get lost in the carpet. Or maybe you're good at fixing things and not just with duct tape. Maybe you're good at cooking or sewing or quilting. Maybe you're good at bringing a smile to someone's face. There are lots of things that we can be good at. But have you ever connected what you're good at with how God made you? I don't think we often take that next step of connecting the things that we're good at in the ways that God has made us. Now, there's someone who we see live that example really well. Our organist is very good at her job. She's blushing. It's true. Norma's good at her job. She plays well. She sets the stops according to the needs of the music and the singers. She can sight read on the fly, even does it by ear sometimes. Now, if you tried to put me on the organ bench and ask me to do that, we'd have a big mess. Norma has a load of talent, and she uses it for God's good, to help us worship through song.
Barbara does too. And we're grateful for each of them and the ways that they share their talents, the things that they are good at with God and with us. This season that we are in now, the season between Epiphany and the beginning of Lent, is about 6 weeks long, and we're going to spend it talking about greater gifts that we have. Last week, you got a little bit of a preview from Little Jack about how he has used his life story to provide a gift to children and families in need, and how through that, he has inspired others to do the same. We've received gifts, both internal and external, from God. And we're going to spend the next few weeks recalling our gifts and the gifts of others and discovering how we can use our gifts as disciples to God's glory and to the good of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I appreciate Little Jack sharing with you last week so that I could spend some time with my family. It was Christmas for us, even though it was about a month late. But having spent time with family and thinking about Christmas, you're going to have to forgive me because we need to go back to thinking about Christmas for just a minute. Think about Christmas time when you were a child, Christmas morning. Did you have expectations? Yeah, most of us had some expectations. Of course you did. You were expecting a gift, or maybe a few, or maybe several, depending on the year and the circumstances. And you might have even had a certain expectation around what would be inside that wrapping, what that gift would be. You were probably expecting to be excited on Christmas morning, to have that joy as you unwrapped something special just for you. And thinking a little further forward in life, there may have been a point where you had equal excitement about giving gifts to receiving them. I remember the initial joy of receiving a gift as a child. But I also remember that there was more joy that came after I had unwrapped it, as I got to tell my friends about it on the playground, or as I got to share it with them, as we learned to do something together. When was the last time you received something and you couldn't wait to tell someone else? Maybe it was the time you got an engagement ring, or a promotion at your job, or maybe it was a new car. We often find fuller joy when we can tell someone about a gift. Sharing the good news of the gift completes our joy. So what about God's gifts to us? One thing I've learned is that God is always with me and you, and will always be there for me and for you. In our faith tradition, we call that prevenient grace, the grace that goes before us. God's gift of grace is always present in our lives, and we have a loving God who's constantly reaching out and wanting to be at the center of our lives. And at some point, each of us usually craves more of God and God's gifts in our lives, a deeper understanding and purpose for our lives. Sometimes we feel that God is calling us and that we need to respond to God. It's different for each of us what that call sounds like and how we are to respond. For some, there's a distinct moment that we can point to. And for others, it may be a series of moments over time that draw us closer and closer to God's love. Many of you have had the feeling of God's grace, of the Holy Spirit, of God's love flowing through you as you have walked the path of following Jesus. For those of you who haven't, and you want to take the next step and receive an invitation to open up to God's grace I'd love to figure out what that means in your life. I'd like to talk with you. Let's figure it out together.
Having received God's first gift of grace, we are placed on a lifelong journey of discipleship, of following Jesus. Like the gifts that we receive at Christmas, our joy isn't made complete or full until we tell someone about the gifts we have received from God, grace upon grace, but also the other gifts that God has endowed upon us, the gifts that we are given to fulfill a greater purpose for God and with the body of Christ. Paul writes about this. It's what we hear in this letter to the church in Corinth. Paul's telling them that they have spiritual gifts and that those gifts come from God and are to be used for God's glory and for the good of all. He tells the church he doesn't want them to be uninformed. And you know there's got to be a backstory to that. Turns out some people in Corinth were cursing Jesus, claiming that they had the spiritual gifts to do so, too. Now, Paul says those two things can't exist. You can't curse Jesus and say that God gave you the gift to curse God. Here's what that might look like today. Have you ever experienced a Christian who says or acts out in a way that doesn't seem to be in line with Jesus? Could that possibly be an example of an individual essentially cursing Jesus and the ways of Jesus by their speech and actions, while at the same time saying they are followers of Jesus? What if we made this a little more personal and applied Paul's warning to the way that we speak and act? Would we ever be guilty of essentially cursing Jesus with our speech, our applications of our spiritual gifts and our actions when they don't reflect Jesus? I'm going to caution you to reflect on yourself and not attempt to evaluate or judge others. Self-reflection helps the disciple grow. Judging is God's purview. So let me ask again. Do we ever essentially curse Jesus when our speech and our actions and our applications of our spiritual gifts do not reflect Jesus? We've been given spiritual gifts. We've studied them together as a congregation. We did that during the month of June. If you missed it and you want to explore your spiritual gifts, I'd be happy to get you the self-inventory that we took. The gifts that we heard in today's scripture lesson are for the journey with Jesus. Paul mentioned wisdom and knowledge, faith and healing, miracles and prophecy and discernment and more. There aren't just those gifts, but there are other gifts also mentioned in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, and there may very well be God-given gifts that you possess that aren't mentioned in these scripture passages. You may be wondering what your spiritual gift is. Listen for it, and God will help you discover what it is. Or you may know what your spiritual gift is, and that's good. Share it. All of us should be of the business of helping each other recognize and put our spiritual gifts to use. The thing that's important for us to hear today from this letter of Paul is that we have each been given gifts by God, and those gifts are all activated by the one and same Spirit, and the gifts are given for the common good. I want you to hear what Paul says in verse 11, that our spiritual gifts are activated by the one and same Spirit. That means that activating your spiritual gift is essential. That's not hiding it. That's not pretending it doesn't exist. Activation means putting your gifts into practice for the common good, for the good of others.
for how can you receive and share a gift if it's never opened and appreciated.
Thinking about this, I've been thinking about activation some. And maybe you've done what I have done. I've gotten a credit card in the mail, and it's one I was expecting, and it had a sticker across the bottom that said, to activate this card, call this 800 number. And I've taken that card off that piece of paper, and I've put it in my wallet. Have I activated my card? And then you want to use your card. Is it going to work? Call the 800 number. Activate the card if you want to use it. The same thing can apply to those rewards cards that some stores give. You have to go online to register some of them. Because if you get up to the cash register and you want to use it and you haven't registered it, sometimes it scans and it comes up that it can't be found because you haven't activated your card. And sometimes you'll get a gift card and it has that thing that you have to scratch off to get to the numbers that you need to be able to use the card. You have to activate these cards. If you want to use your card, you have to activate it. So why then, friends, do some disciples clearly recognize a spiritual gift and leave the sticker on it? In 2 weeks, we're going to think about this concept some more. Think about how not activating our spiritual gifts can actually weaken our community, our faith, the body of Christ. For now, I want to leave you with this thought from the theologian Howard Thurmond about activating your spiritual gift. He said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." The world, our church, our community, your family, your workplace, they don't need you to do the task for which you are not gifted. The world, our community, our church, your family, your workplace, what they need is for you to discern the gifts that you have been given and to activate them for the fullest good that they can do. The world needs people who have come alive, who have been activated by God's Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Gift-giving God, thank you for giving each person in the church a spiritual gift. Thank you for bestowing your grace and Holy Spirit on our lives. Open our eyes and ears by your power, so that we will notice the gifts you give to us and others. Empower us to discern our gifts and give us the courage to use them to benefit your kingdom. Amen.